Now listen carefully. Whenever God's people, whenever God's leaders, whenever Christians rise up to do any work for God, I can promise you that you're going to have opposition.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and happy Friday. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Pastor has titled this next message, When Opposed, Keep Working. Now, Pastor Bill.
We're still in Nehemiah. We're going to be in chapter 4. We're going to do a short study there, and then we're going to celebrate communion and then pray for any needs that we may have tonight. Remember, as you turn now to the fourth chapter of Nehemiah, remember that Nehemiah is the great study on leadership. And the law of leadership states, without leadership, nothing gets done. Nothing gets done in the government, in your home, in the church, in your life, in your workplace. Everything requires leadership. Amen? That's very important, this incredible study. Remember that Nehemiah, he wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a priest. He was simply a cupbearer to the king of Persia. Being released, he went into Jerusalem with letters from the king, and he did what Ezra, the priest or the scribe, and Zerubbabel, the governor, could not do. And that was, they failed to build the walls at Jerusalem. Even though they did rebuild the temple, the walls were left unattended. So here is this cupbearer, this layman, if you will, a disciple, a lover of God, whose heart was broken over Jerusalem. And there he goes in and he unites the people, and they're going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Remember how we have learned how Nehemiah shared his heart with the people of God. He gave them the testimony after he surveyed out the ruins at night for 3 days. And then he came to the people and he told them all how God had released him from the king of Persia and has letters in his hands and all the things that he's going to do. And when they heard the vision, when they heard the plan, it says there, the entire population of Jerusalem, it says in Nehemiah 2:18, so they said, all the people, let us rise up and build. And then they set their hands to this good work. Now listen carefully. Whenever God's people, whenever God's leaders, whenever Christians rise up to do any work for God, I can promise you that you're going to have opposition. I mean, instantly, it's going to happen in your life. You must not only be prepared for opposition, you must literally expect to be opposed in your walk with God and the things that you do for God. D.L. Moody said this. He said, the devil never kicks a dead horse. There's no doubt about it. But we're not dead. Amen? The children of Israel, they rose up, they build, they're going to build the walls around Jerusalem. Now listen carefully this morning or tonight, yesterday, whenever day it is. When opposed, this is what I want to talk to you about. When opposition comes, whenever you're opposed, whenever you're ridiculed, whenever people are mocking you and making fun of you as a believer in Christ, you just keep on working. You don't let them ever stop you. Amen? Now listen carefully. If you are a leader, a believer, whatever, listen carefully now. It is impossible for a leader to lead without facing opposition. It's impossible. You're going to face opposition in your life. There's absolutely no way around it. So how does a leader, talking about Christians now, how does a leader handle opposition? And when opposition occurs, what do you do? Let's begin chapter 4, verse 1. And so it happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, that he was so happy and thrilled about it. No, he was what? He was furious. He was indignant. If you put those two words together, it literally means he was burning with rage. And look at the result. And he mocked, and that word means ridiculed. He ridiculed the Jews. Sanballat is, he could be the governor or some leader of Samaria. We're really not perfectly sure about it, but it doesn't matter. He was opposed to God. He was opposed to the children of God. You know, rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem for the protection, to remove the reproach that was on the people, is a God-given noble thing, isn't it? But you know what? The world doesn't care. The world doesn't applaud what we do for God. No, they always oppose. They jump up and mock and they ridicule the things that you do for the Lord. Now look at verse 2. And he spake unto his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, watch what he does now. What are these feeble Jews doing? I mean, look at them. They are weak. They are miserable. They look like a bunch of fading flowers about to die. You understand? They're feeble. He says, will they fortify themselves? There's five questions here. Will they fortify themselves? I would add to Scripture and say, no, I'm not going to fortify myself. The Lord is my fortress. I'm already fortified. Amen? He says, will they offer sacrifices? In other words, it's going to take a lot more than that than to build these walls that are down that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed 100 and some odd years ago that are all burned to pieces. He says, will they complete it in a day? Of course, he knows that's impossible. And look what he says. Will they revive or will they bring these stones back to life, the stones from the heaps of the rubbish, stones that are burned. Now listen carefully. In these few verses, we find the tactics of opposition, all right? You know, Satan always uses people to try to stop the work of God. See, tools, especially those who do not know God, they are tools in the hands of the wicked one. So Sanballat, he is the voice of the enemy. And you know what? You hear him every day in your life. You're never going to accomplish anything. You're never going to get out of the problem that you're in. You're not really going to make it. You're not going to make ends meet. You're not going to get over the hill. Your marriage is not going to be restored or your whatever. The devil is a liar. Do you know that? But the voice of the enemy, he is alive and he never rests. Satan never rests. His program that he has never changes. He comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. He tells us, no matter what we do, the Jews then, the Christian today, he tells us how feeble and weak we are in the things that we try to do for the Lord or to live the Christian life. You know, whenever he tells you that you're weak and you're not going to make it, you need to remind him of 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Amen? That's what we need to tell the devil. So here, this ridicule that starts. It says, Thomas Carlyle says this, ridicule is the language of the devil. Oh, to be a young believer today, to be a teenage Christian or a college Christian, oh, the things that they have to go through. I remember when I was in college, and maybe some of you are there right now, in school or something, and they say, oh, it's too bad you're going to miss the party tonight. You know you're invited, but you have to go to church, don't you? You've heard that. That's when you slap them, right? No, you don't do that. You know, somebody says, you know, I remember when we started the church, and we were in the early days, in the very beginning in the older building. And there was only like, 10 cars out there. And there was a church down the street. And man, they were, a big church. And some of them came and said, what are you guys doing there? I mean, look, you don't have anybody. You know, your little feeble prayer meetings that you're having and so forth. These were Christians. And so then about after a year, the parking lot was full. And then all of our cars went all the way up on the highway or the street to their place. Ridicule is a terrible thing. The devil loves to ridicule believers. He loves to use people to ridicule you. And it's also, ridicule is very contagious. Look at verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, in other words, beside Sanballat. And it said, and he said, and remember, let me back up, the Ammonites now were the member of the ancient enemies of the children of Israel. And so he said, well, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he'll break down their stone wall. You know what I've learned, and you know the same thing. Have you ever noticed that one person won't really ridicule you too much? But when you get a group, and isn't it amazing how they will join in with the one who's doing the ridiculing? That's what happens right here. And so Tobiah, he says, oh, come on, Sanballat, we know what's going on. They're not going to need an army. You don't need an army to take care of these people. You know what? Their walls are going to be so poorly built that a little 2-pound fox can walk across them and the walls are just going to fall down. That's called ridicule, loved one. You know what's wonderful about this? If you study biblical history and you go back and look at archaeological discoveries, you'll find during that period, they found the walls that Nehemiah actually, they did build. Do you know how thick those walls were? 9 feet thick. I don't think a little fox could tear those up, do you? No. So they were full of ridicule. And if you study out the Bible, you'll find out that every man of God, woman of God, they're always being ridiculed. I mean, look at Noah. Was Noah, man, you're talking about mocked and made fun of for 120 years. Noah, what is rain? It's going to rain? You got to be kidding. You're building, what is this thing you're building in the middle of dry land? It's going to have a flood? What's a flood, Noah? Nothing's going to happen. See, they're mocking Noah. He put up with it. How about Jesus? Look what the chief priest did to our Lord, how they mocked him. Or the Roman soldiers, how they mocked him, ridiculed him, and then they beat him, plucking out his beard, spitting into his face, the things that he took for you and for me. Or the chief priest and the religious rulers, how they said, you know, they called him Beelzebub. You know, you're in cahoots with the devil. Or when they said, you're born of fornication. What a horrible thing to be saying. Jesus was constantly ridiculed. You know, the Bible says something about those who mock God. It says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Oh, people think they're mocking him. People may think they're making fun of him. But loved one, listen to me. God has the last word. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, it says, that shall he also reap. You know, you look at the ridicule that goes on today with our young believers. They go to college and they say, come on, guys, what do you mean you're not going to party with us tonight? Well, you know, I don't party, you know. Or, what? You don't party? What's wrong with you? You know, or, you know, what's wrong with you, young girl? What do you mean? You want to keep your virginity? What's are you crazy? What's going on? Do you understand? The constant ridicule and the mocking that they endure. You stand up for the inerrancy of God's word, they're going to mock you. I read the other day what a teenager said this. She said, I think the hardest part of being a teenager is dealing with other teenagers. The criticism, the ridicule, the gossiping, the rumors. You see, we live today in a time when a person can literally go online and almost destroy an individual. Do you understand? Or they can mock a person and bully a person and ridicule a person where that person becomes so vulnerable in their hearts, they literally want to take their lives. Ridicule, mocking a person is a horrible, horrible thing. So what do you do? How do you handle it? Well, let's look what Nehemiah did when ridiculed. Look at verse 4. It says, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach or turn their ridicule upon their own heads and give them as plunder or literally give them as prey to the land or to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Now listen carefully, leadership law. Leaders don't retaliate when ridiculed. A lot of times that's hard for a person to do, isn't it? Huh? Yes, hard, isn't it? But you know, listen, what did Nehemiah do? Here's the secret. This is what we all must do as believers if we're being ridiculed. How did Nehemiah fight? He fought on his knees. He got down and he says, listen, I'm going to pray. Prayer is fighting. Did you know that? Prayer is the work. We always go to God. Leaders pray. And listen to me now. Never, whatever you do, if you're being ridiculed, if you're castigated, whatever it might be, never make prayer your last resource. Don't do that. Man, you need to be ready. knowing that you're going to have opposition in this life, knowing that you're going to have people that's going to make fun of you in the workplace and so forth and ridicule you, goody two shoes, or you're a Jesus freak or a Bible thumper or whatever they want to call you. It doesn't matter. We know who we are. We are children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. Amen? We've been adopted. Now listen, you know, here's the deal. Now we can't pray like Nehemiah because Nehemiah was under the old covenant when you could pray, kill those people. We can't pray that way now because we're under a new covenant. Do you understand? And a better covenant with a better mediator and better promises, our Lord. So what do we do whenever we are attacked like that and we're opposed and ridiculed and cut down and maybe even in the fired from our jobs because we're a believer? Paul tells us in Romans 12:17, he says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if it's possible, and sometimes it's not, but if it possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So God takes personal revenge out of our hands. He says, I'll handle it. I can do a much better job than you anyway. And he says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Doesn't say what to feed him, but feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, here's what you will do. You will heap coals of fire on his head. I don't know what that means, but it must be pretty good. So all I know is when I don't do that, I'm going, well, buddy, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to love you, but you better be ready because there's getting ready to be a hot head coming, okay? That's all I know. Do not, it says, and do not be overcome or conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. You know, hostility, people who ridicule you, we repay them with love because love never fails. Do you understand? Love doesn't always win, but love never fails. I was speaking with the youth pastors earlier tonight, and I said, you know what? I said, radical Christianity is real Christianity. Amen? When you're radical, say, that's what God said to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do exactly what he says because he commands us to do it. Now, it says in 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The word put to silence means literally muzzle them. In other words, when they see your actions are literally your action, my action, by the way we walk with God, should so stun people that it literally leaves them speechless. They don't have anything to say. What can they say when they see the power of God and the goodness of God working in your hearts and in your lives? Amen? He says now, you know, one of the greatest tests of leadership is how do you handle opposition? How do you handle criticism? You know, concerning our Lord, it says in 1 Peter 2:21, he says this, for this to you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, when he was ridiculed, when he was mocked, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he didn't threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Listen, the greatest thing we can do whenever we're faced with opposition and criticism is let God handle the case. Turn it over to the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. Amen? No one's going to get away with anything. No one. Everyone will give an account of what they do. And what's so sad is that some leaders and some Christians, that we've all been there, the criticism and the opposition becomes so bad, they literally just fall apart. And that's a bad place to be, loved one. You know, can I tell you something tonight? It costs to be a leader. Don't ever kid yourself. I mean, it costs to be a leader. You're going to be opposed. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be slandered. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be mocked. No leader, and let me say this, and no Christian is exempt from those things. You're not exempt. Being a Christian doesn't mean, okay, I am totally protected from that. No, loved one, that's not it at all. Now listen to me though. Not all criticism is wrong if it's done with a genuine heart, right? I'm talking about constructive criticism. You know, when someone criticizes me and they do it constructively, I always, honest to God, I want to know. Tell me. I'm very teachable. Man, I don't want to mess up. You know, like I was telling you about D.L. Moody. Remember what D.L. Moody did? He was untrained. He'd never been ordained. And he never graduated from high school. I think he had about a 6th or 7th grade education. He couldn't speak English properly. And he never had been trained in the Word of God. He would sit in front of pastors that were teaching, and he would interrupt them in the service. And he would go, oh, my, oh, my. That just messed up my sermon. I have to throw it out. Now, I was totally wrong. That's how he learned. Are you listening to me? And some would finally sit down and help and explain the way on tough, difficult passages. He didn't go, don't be critical of me. See, good criticism helps us. You know, the thing is that a leader's humility is never, listen now, a leader's humility is never more on trial as when you are being criticized. You hear me? Oh, that is a true word. You know, the leadership we're going through right now, the servant leaders, through J. Oswald Sanders' classic book on spiritual leadership, has sold over 1 million copies. It's been in my library since the early 70s, one of the greatest, I consider, books on leadership ever. And you know what he says? He says this, no leader is exempt from criticism, and his humility will no be more seen more clearly than in the manner in which he accepts it or reacts to it. A great preacher, Samuel Bingle, he was being criticized, horribly criticized. They were just beating him crazy. And listen to what he said. He came to the person and said, listen, from my heart, I thank you for your rebuke. I think I deserved it. Will you, my friend, remember me in prayer? Now, what's that person going to do now? Do you understand? Or if you say, if you start retaliating, you know, are you going to get an argument? Yeah. In other words, okay, did I mess up? Am I wrong? Well, here, thank God that you love me enough to come to me, even though they're being critical, you know, for the wrong reason. You understand? And you just love them. And you say, thank you. Listen, you know, if you knew the people that stopped me after services and said things to me about what I taught all through my ministry, you wouldn't believe it. It's like, I have people follow me around. You quoted that scripture wrong. Well, hello, okay? How do you even spell it, will you, you know? I mean, come on. You know, it's crazy the things that people do. You know, listen, never mind, I don't want to get there. You know, but I mean, the radio listeners, you know, and I love the radio listeners. You that are listening live right now all over, I love you. But some of you are great. You know what I mean? No. So look here now. Look at, I'm good. Before I get in trouble, go to verse 6. I love this part. Verse 6. So what does Nehemiah said? So we quit. So we gave up. The opposition, the criticism, the ridicule, it was just too much for us. Is that what he said? No, look what he said. So we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together. Watch this now. It was halfway built, half of its height. Why? For the people had a mind to work. Listen, Nehemiah prayed, but look what else he did. This is so important for leaders. Nehemiah prayed, but he also stayed on the job. He kept working. Listen, when opposition happens, whatever you do, don't stop what you're doing. Don't stop working for God. Don't quit and lay down. Don't be a sissy. Sissy. Do you understand? No, don't do that. Listen, if you do that, they have won. It says, for the people had a mind to work. I love that. You know what that means? They put all of their heart into what they were doing. You remember last Wednesday night, you know, how he put, what was it, 38 different families and leaders all together from 6 or 7 different villages all the way around. They were restoring the gates. They were building the walls and so forth. Incredible what God was doing through them because they had a mind to work. Now listen, Calvary. It says, so we built the wall. There's the key right there.
Once again, we're out of time, but there's much more to this message. So we encourage you to tune in for our Monday program to hear the remainder of today's message. We pray that you have a safe and restful weekend, and we hope to see you on Monday. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.